Isn't it time you lived life on your own terms? If not now, when? Visit abrilliantgamble.com for more information on Blair's new exciting online coaching program. Midlife doesn't have to be a crisis. It's a time to rethink who you are and what you really want from your work, your life, and yourself. Sacrificing your soul stops here. It's time to make some plans, make them happen, and live the life you deserve. With interviews, stories from her own adventures, and expert insights, here's your host, best-selling author, speaker, and coach, Blair Palmer.
Hello and welcome to episode 132 of the A Brilliant Gamble podcast. I hope you are really well. I'll come to what's on the show in a few minutes, but I wanted to remind you about our flagship program, our development program, A Brilliant Gamble Online. This program is designed to support you through the parallel journey. Now, we talked about the parallel journey on the show last week. At the same time that things are changing in your life, that you're making changes happen, you're also needing to change, to grow and evolve. It's one of the reasons that you make the change is because you want to grow, but that process of growth can be very difficult and you can find that you are getting in your own way. So you have this idea of the life that you want to live and the work you want to do, the business you want to create, the adventures you want to have, but you keep getting in the way. So this program is like having me in your pocket throughout that whole journey. I designed it while I was traveling with my daughter last year and while I was also working with a pilot group of people who were going through their own changes, and I was creating content to help them with those changes. And when I developed some content that really, really helped them, that went in the program. So this is the creme de la creme. There's nothing excess to requirements here. There's no padding. Everything that's in this program is really, really useful. It's the stuff that's going to help you explore your values, your needs, understand the hero's journey and where you are on that journey, how to create new habits and practices, how to deal with setbacks, and of course, how to keep getting out of your own way as you step further and further away from what you're familiar with today. So you can find out more at abrilliantgamble.com. Just click on our courses page and do drop me a line if you're not sure if this program is for you. I'll be really, really honest with you. I don't want you to take this program if you're not ready for it, if you have other things going on that are doing the job. But if I think that you can really benefit and that this program will help you to see your plans through, to stick it out when the going gets tough and to enjoy the process, then I'll let you know that as well. Anyway, on to today's show. I don't know about you, but people are always telling me to do more exercise. I'm always being advised to join a gym or to work out or to take a class of some kind. And I've got to be honest, it's never appealed to me. I did used to go to the gym in my 20s, but these days I have absolutely no interest. But people rarely suggest with the same conviction and enthusiasm that we do something creative. It's always go to the gym, but very rarely do people say do something creative. But creativity is hugely important in developing that sense of balance that so many of us are looking for. And women in particular are really bad at having creative hobbies, hobbies of any kind. Men on average spend about 4.5 hours a week on sports and hobbies and computer games, compared with women who spend about 2.5 hours. And that is why I wanted to talk to my guests today, Sandra and Tara from Kick in the Creatives. They have a podcast of that name, a website, 1,000-member Facebook group, and I think they're on Instagram as well. All of that aimed at helping people incorporate creative challenges into their lives. In this interview, we talk about creativity in a broad sense, from painting to music to writing and crafts and anything else in between, about how important it is to make time for creativity in your life and how to get started. So if you've been putting your own creativity on a back burner, I hope today's show will inspire you to push it further up the list of priorities. And I'd love to know how you get on. In the Corporate Escapees Facebook group, I'm going to start a thread about my own creative challenge for the month of August. I have a bit of time in August. My daughter's got lots of activities going on. So I'm going to be challenging myself to do more creative things during the day. And I'd love to know what you're planning to do and then how you progress. But without further delay, let's head over to the interview. Tara and Sandra, so fantastic to have you on the show. How are you?
Oh, thank you for having us. Great to be here.
Yeah, it really is. Thanks for inviting us.
Well, there are lots and lots of things to talk about. And I was thinking about this morning because I'm guilty of the very thing that we're going to talk about today, which is losing your creativity. And I'm just very, very interested in how we can get that creativity back into our lives and why it matters. But before we launch into that, maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you ended up getting together and creating Kickin' the Creatives.
Well, Tara basically heard me being interviewed on a podcast called Your Creative Push. And she basically just reached out and said, hey, you know, I have a podcast. I'd love to chat to you if you fancy coming on. And so I'd done it once and I thought, well, okay, because I was terrified the first time. I thought there's no way I could ever do it. And I said I wouldn't. And my husband said, you really should. So I did. But then I went on to Tara's and it just so happened that we just got chatting, didn't we, Tara, after the interview. We just connected. You know when sometimes you chat to someone and you feel like you're almost talking to yourself? Do you know what I mean? So we were kind of chatting away, and I think the conversation afterwards probably lasted longer than the actual interview itself. And we just kind of kept in touch. And we kind of had similar stories, but in very different ways. I had been creative as a child, but then had that awful thing you get when you're a teenager, which is comparisonitis, you know, oh, well, you know, that person over there can draw far better than I can. So clearly that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. And off I went and just forgot all about it, really. And then it was when I was probably in my early 30s, I suppose, very early 30s, and I had children by then. And I was doing little things for them and helping them with their art projects and stuff like that. And just dabbling, really. And I kind of got into art accidentally because I started painting murals on my daughter's bedroom of the Little Mermaid. And I kind of was trying to make it all three-dimensional rather than just flat like the cartoon. And I did stand back and think, wow, I actually think I could be quite good at this. And that's basically the ignition that lit the spark, basically, for me feeling that sort of buzz of creativity again. And basically I think it was probably about 3 years later I bought my first sketchbook. And I remember talking to you, Tara, didn't I, about this in our interview. Mm-hmm. And I bought this sketchbook and I was just way too scared to spoil the pages of this sketchbook because I thought if I draw in it, I'm going to ruin it. So I had this sketchbook for 6 months before I did anything. And then finally I did my first sketch and it was just the bird table out of the window. And I thought, I'm going to join an art class. So I joined an art class just once a week, a couple of hours on a Wednesday. And I absolutely loved it. I really loved it. And from that moment on, I've never stopped drawing. And it's a long story to get to the point I'm at now, but obviously many years later, I'm painting, drawing, have the podcast with Tara, have Kickin' the Creatives. And I think since we've started Kickin' the Creatives, my art has gone in so many different directions now. I still paint. I'm very much a still life painter, and that's, you know, what I do. But working with Tara has been fantastic because her and I are very different in the way we create, aren't we, Tara? You are very experimental and brave, I think, whereas I'm much more, you know, I do what I do and less, maybe more scared to experiment. But between the two of us, we've kind of, I think we've been a very good influence on each other, haven't we, Tara?
A bit of balance there, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and we've met many times, well, several times since we have started this thing. It was lovely to meet, obviously, in the flesh after about a year of collaborating. And we're going out next weekend to Brighton sketching. So But maybe, Tara, you want to talk about how Kicking the Creators started, a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I did the real traditional route. I absolutely loved drawing at school. And I was probably one of those kids that everybody knew that drew. So I went to college, absolutely loved my first year of art college, then went on to study graphic design, which now, looking back, I think was a big mistake. But it's like one of those things where you don't know what to do. You don't know which direction to go. I knew it was going to be art-based. So I've done that now. I've done graphics for, I don't know, 25 plus years. But I just found that I no longer got a buzz out of it. The sort of creativity over the years got sapped out of it because everything's gone so digital. I no longer sort of drew by hand, which was a thing that I absolutely loved, like when I was a kid. You know, you couldn't stop me drawing when I was a kid. So when I met Sandra, we started doing these slightly bonkers challenges for each other. These weren't really initially on the podcast, but one of them, we decided we would test the effects of alcohol on creativity, not in a stupid fashion.
Now you're talking.
But it was like we were going to set, give ourselves 3 units of alcohol, and then we'd both have these little creative tests we do. And one of those was to draw the Prosecco bottle or the alcohol bottle that you'd, I know it's slightly mad, that we'd been drinking. So it felt completely alien to me. I picked up this, when I was sober, so we did it both ways. So I picked up, it was so alien using this pencil and trying to shade, because all I'd done with graphics is little scribbles and layouts. And I thought, actually, I quite like this, you know, again. And we started setting ourselves more challenges. And both of us have previously done some online challenges. Sandra, did you do the 100-day project? I can't remember which one you did.
No, Inktober. Yeah.
And I'd done the 100-day project. And so we realised the value of challenges. So we thought, we want to create this place where people can go and there's always an art challenge, or they can find the existing ones. So, because for me, to just sit there on my own and decide that every day I'm going to create a piece of art, it's quite hard. I need to be accountable in some way. I know that sounds silly because it's something you love, but still having someone there to say, you know, have you done your art today? Or let me show you what I've done. That really helps. So that's the kind of initial thinking of creating Kicking the Creatives.
And I think as well, because I remember when I used to try and take part in creative challenges, and I'd suddenly see all these hashtags flying around and think, what's that? What's that? And then I'd realise that this challenge had started a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, I hadn't even realised, so I was always kind of late. And so we sort of thought it'd be great to sort of house them all under kind of one umbrella, and also host our own, obviously, which we do. We do four a month, Tara, don't we? And so it was kind of a way of everyone kind of being able to find everything under one roof, like a creative mall, I suppose.
I mean, oh my God, so there's so many things there to talk about. Let's reel back to something that you said, Sandra, about having this notepad, this right drawing pad,
yeah,
and not being able to touch it for 6 months for fear of ruining it. And my daughter likes to draw, and she feels the same way about her little pads that she buys, that she doesn't want to use them to experiment or do things wrong. She wants every single page to be perfect. And of course, that is a real barrier to doing anything at all. That I'm sure that will resonate with a lot of us, not just literally in terms of the pad itself, but this kind of idea that, I don't even want to get started. Maybe you used to do stuff. Maybe you've never done any drawing, or your memories of doing drawing and anything creative at school are very, very negative. But you have this feeling you want to do something now. But you just want it to be good. Talk to me about that process of being bad before things start getting good.
Yeah. And that's one thing I've always said is that, you know, in order to be good at something, you just have to be willing to be bad at it. And you're going to be bad at it when you start. I mean, I still do bad drawings now from time to time, you know. I think the problem lies perhaps more these days because of the whole online presence of sketchbook tours. You get lots of people, you know, flicking through their sketchbooks, and they're almost kind of like works of art in themselves, aren't they? you know, they're just fantastic, beautifully rendered drawings in these beautiful books. And I think the problem with that is that we all assume that as an artist, you can just draw that, you know, you open a pad, you draw something and it's perfect every time. And that's absolutely not the case. But the online, on the world of social media, you would think that, wouldn't you? And I think life is very much edited online, isn't it? We wouldn't, you know, show certain things that we'd always show the best of ourselves, wouldn't we? And this is the same in our sketchbooks. We'll show things that perhaps are what we're really proud of, but we'll perhaps, you know, hide away the ones we're not so proud of. But I think this is, when you start out as an artist, the first thing you'll do is you'll go onto YouTube, you'll go onto, you know, join a sketch group online, and you'll straight away see everyone's wonderful sketches and think, I can't do that. I'm never going to be as good as that. And then, of course, you do your own sketch and you think, well, you know, it, compared to that sketch, mine is just awful. So, I think that's, you kind of feel intimidated. And I think when you start, you just have to remember that everybody starts the same way. Everybody does. And if the last time you picked up a pencil, which in my case was probably when I was about 12, and suddenly at 30 years old, I mean, I'm a lot older now, obviously, but back then, about 30 years old, I was picking up a pencil, thinking, you know, and I should be good because I'm older, but of course I'm starting off where I left at 12 years old, so my drawings are 12 years old. They're going to be, but yeah, incredible how quickly you learn.
I think this is a great metaphor, actually, because, you know, if you're starting anything again in your midlife, right? Let's say starting your own business or a side hustle, or you're going long-term traveling like we did last year. This fear of at this point in your life being bad at something. I mean, I think it's all right when you're a kid. Well, it's definitely all right when you're a kid. And it's even all right, I think, when you're in your 20s. But when you're in your 40s or 50s and you're starting from scratch, I mean, I'm doing a social media course at the moment. I'm learning about it. I feel like a right idiot. I don't know anything about how to create, you know, I'm really, really starting from scratch. And I think, God, I've been in business for 20 years, but I've never had to learn this skill particularly. And it's hard on your ego, I think, to have to be bad at something at this point. It's much easier to focus on your comfort zone and the things you know you can do, even if those things don't give you that much pleasure.
I think two stages in your life, you're least confident, and that is as a teenager, and then when you reach middle age. Because when you're a kid, like you say, you just assume you're an artist, and everything you do, you say, look at this, can you stick it on the fridge? And you just really show it off because you just enjoyed it and you like what you see, and you don't even question whether it's good or not. You just enjoyed it, and there it is, it's the work of art. And then suddenly, like I say, when you're a teenager, you're kind of thinking, oh, you know, that person's better than mine must be terrible. And then of course when you're 20 odd or whatever and you go through that stage of your life, well, certainly I just went on a different direction altogether. But then, like you say, as soon as you reach middle age, you try it again, you think, well, I should be good at this because, you know, I'm experienced, I should be much better than I was when I was a child. But you can't think like that. You're starting at the point you left. That's the thing. And you have to just be willing to push on and get through that part. And it doesn't actually take long. It's just, like I say, it's being willing to be bad and just having a bit of a laugh about it, which I did learn to do, particularly after I met Tara.
Well, Tara, I mean, your story is also very interesting because I think you did what a lot of people do, which is to take a kind of a pure joy, like doing art, yeah. And kind of find a job that's sort of related, but has some security and a bit more status, maybe a bit more credibility as a like proper job. And then, you know, lose all the joy of it, just becomes a job, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, as well, because when I did it, it was actually totally wrong for me, I think, even at the time, because I didn't I didn't even know, to be honest, totally what graphic design was. It was one of those things, you know, like, okay, you know, I'll do that. Someone's pushed me in that direction. Yeah, I'll do that. And, you know, I like drawing. I didn't like type. I didn't like layout. And I never, to be honest, if someone had told me 2 years ago that I would be enjoying sketching and drawing by hand again, I'd have said, no way. I thought that was gone. That was gone forever. So anyone who thinks that they can't re-love something they used to, I think that's totally wrong, because I definitely do and I'm enjoying it again. But when I started drawing again, obviously I hadn't completely stopped because I was still making digital art and digital characters. But starting to draw by hand again, you forget you haven't got undos. That's so nice in real life, wouldn't it, to have like this undo button? But yeah, it was suddenly so alien, and I was looking at what I was making and I was thinking, that is rubbish, you know, but I was still enjoying doing it. And like you said about the social media, I actually love learning things, and I think that's what I get a buzz out of. So experimentation and learning. So I think you've got to embrace that bit, because I get a total kick out of it. It doesn't matter what age I am. I've learned something new, and now I can do that, something that I couldn't do a month, you know, a few weeks ago, whatever. And I just think that's amazing, and amazing that you can just go online. Whereas like when we were all kids, it'd be going down to the local library, wouldn't it? Trawling through the books, trying to find something. And now we can learn something in hours. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It is amazing. And there's the pros and cons, isn't there? So as Sandra said, there's the con of that, which is that you look online and everyone's so talented and their stuff's so good. You feel like you can't do it. And then there's the pros that actually you can find some really simple projects to start with and some techniques and watch a video of someone drawing. I was just on your Facebook page, I think. And it was your Facebook page or your website, and it was at how to draw a horse. And I remember being able to draw horses when I was a child because I loved horses. And now that skill's gone completely out the window. Their back is too long and their head's all wonky. But I could go to your website and go, okay, here's a step-by-step to at least get something vaguely horse-shaped onto a piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly. And you can find something for anything, can't you? It doesn't have to be art. You know, click your finger and you found it. And I think even if you find something, like I tried to learn programming once, and I tried for about 6 months. And in the end, I thought, I don't think it's the fact that I'm middle-aged. I think it just doesn't suit me. It's not the way my mind works. So just because you try something, it doesn't work, it doesn't mean you can't still learn well. It just means you haven't found the right thing for you yet.
I think the secret is wanting it, how much you want it. Because I can learn anything if I'm really interested in it and I want to learn it. But if I try and learn something that really doesn't interest me, then I'm completely different. It just goes straight over my head. A lot to do with how much you want something and your determination.
Yeah. I wonder if that's a great kind of... I can't think of how to describe it, but a sort of great personality trait that happens as you get older, which is you just have less tolerance for doing things. You notice more quickly when you're doing something that you just don't like. Yeah. And don't see any reason in carrying on with it. You know, that actually, if you're going to make these big changes in your life, midlife, you're going to try and turn this midlife crisis into a midlife awakening, why would you spend a lot of time doing things you hate?
I think there's that balance though, isn't there? It's like, do I hate this because I've not yet given it time to be decent at it? For example, you know, when you start, for example, drawing again, you're not going to be good. So did you actually enjoy the process, even though you don't like the result? I think that's part of it. You can't go by the results you get at first.
I think this is where you're good anyway, Tara, isn't it? Because you love the process so much, don't you? And almost, I always think with you, the minute you are really good at something, you're almost bored and you're like, I'm to the next thing.
That's really true.
Yeah, I enjoy the bit where I'm good at something, but I'm not so keen on the bit where I'm trying to learn it. But yeah, Tara, you and I are very, so different.
Yeah.
It's great.
So let's also talk about, because both of you have talked about losing touch in a way with your art and your creative side. And some of us, I mean, in my case, never feel we really ever had a creative side. How important is it to have a creative outlet, whether or not you think you have creative talent?
I think everyone needs something creative in their lives. And creation doesn't have to be about art or sketching. I mean, my sister, she always says, I am so not creative. I haven't got a creative bone in my body. And yet she makes amazing cakes and she cooks. She's a really good cook, or rather, you know, making cakes. She's a baker. Well, she's not a baker, but she loves baking for her kids at home. And but I think that is creative, isn't it? I can't actually cook to save my life. I'm hopeless at it. But and my husband, I mean, he goes fly fishing, and you know, it's something I think that makes you feel that you are giving your mind time to just relax and focus on something that you find a pleasure to do. It doesn't necessarily have to be art, I don't think, but I do think everyone's got it in them.
Yeah, I mean, I keep thinking back to, we've got a woman in our group who Sandra sort of know a lot about, and she basically had a lot of problems, depression. She had some really sad things happening in her life, and she's turned to art. Someone suggested she should do art, and she says it's completely turned her life around. And as she would say herself, she's not that great a drawer, but she loves the process, and through trying different things, because of course you don't know what you're good at till you try it. And she's tried to make abstract art, and she's so good at it. She may not be good at, you know, drawing tight things and things so they look like it, but she's really good at this kind of experimental, you know, stuff that looks amazing. And I mean, she's put these messages to say how the total thing has changed how she is.
I think that's what's great about the group, isn't it, Tara? Because everybody on it is so lovely. Nobody judges anyone, do they? We've been very lucky about the Facebook group, I think. And yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about, but yeah. What's interesting is how much she has grown since she joined the group. And like you say, I wouldn't do an abstract, because I know it's just not the way my brain works. Maybe that's the way her brain works. And she does fantastic things now. And it's just a matter of being brave and trying things, isn't it?
Do you think that women in particular, I remember reading something about this some years ago about women and their relationship with play, and that men do tend to continue to play their whole lives. So they'll be in a sports team and they'll go, you know, down the pub and they'll do a game of pool or whatever. And women, particularly women, once they start having families, play is not really a part of their lives. So, I mean, speaking for myself, I'm desperate for some relaxation time, but I wouldn't know where to start with playing. And this, what you're talking about in terms of creativity is really about play, right? It's about just indulging yourself and having fun doing something that's kind of, I mean, don't take this the wrong way, ladies, but kind of pointless. It's an end in itself. It has no other purpose apart from because you like it and it's fun to do, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as pointless.
that's why I don't. I don't mean it's pointless. I mean, it's got huge
frivolous.
Value, but it's got huge value in a way that we're not used to seeing value, because we see value in got to tidy the house, got to do the laundry, got to get the kids dressed, I've got to do my work, I've got to make money. I've got, you know, there's a lot of very serious stuff that we have to get done, and so, you know, making time to have an afternoon of painting or something just feels quite indulgent, really, and yet it's got this huge value.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the thing you said about men, the things they like to do are team sports more probably, where women, because I've always said I'd love to have like a five-a-side netball, but women don't do that like the guys do, a five-a-side, you know, just a little fun game, nothing competitive. But I guess what they've got is, because they're doing this team sport, they have a time and a place they have to be there. Whereas what we're going to do is probably solitary, unless we're going to join a class to do whatever creative pursuit we have. So I think in some way we need to either find other people to be with to do what we want to do, or make ourselves accountable if we do want to do that, because we haven't got that set time that we're going to be somewhere.
It's an interesting point you've made as well, I think, about feeling like it's something frivolous. And we've not long ago, I think it was last week, wasn't it, Tara, we recorded a podcast, didn't we, on art and guilt. And, you know, the fact that a lot of artists feel guilty when they're creating, because they feel like, you know, what if my husband's bored, or what if my kids need this, that and the other, what if the hoovering hasn't been done, do you know what I mean? And I think the thing about it is you have to learn that actually what you're doing is so good for your own mental health, it can only be a better person. I know that Tara and I both feel the same way. If we haven't created for a while, we haven't had time, you know, I know I feel awful if I haven't created for a long time, because I just feel like I'm missing part of myself. And if I've had a day in the art studio or a day drawing, I always feel a completely different person. And that can only be good for the people around you, can't it? Surely.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right. And I think like anything like, there's a lot of talk obviously about meditation and mindfulness and all of that kind of thing. But I know that's not for everyone. That doesn't appeal to everyone to just have 10 minutes or 30 minutes a day kind of in their own head, emptying their thoughts. But something like that same period of time being creative. I mean, for me, it's playing the piano. I don't get the chance to do it very often. But when I am sitting there at the piano, I lose track of time. I'm completely involved in what I'm doing. It's not possible for me to think about anything else. And that is a form of meditation that's got to be really, really good for you.
Yeah, Tony, I listened to this, I went to a lecture a while ago, and the guy there was saying about how he'd tried all sorts of meditation, eventually given up, and almost found exactly what you were saying, that the only way he could get out of his own head was either by do some real physical activity, you know, some real fast running, or by, you know, playing his guitar, something like that. That's the only way he could get out of his own way.
Yeah, I think this is so important. And so how do we... So good that you talked about this just the other week, but how do we get out of this guilt then of thinking, well, I can't do that until I've done all the proper jobs that need to be done?
Well, I remember we had a challenge the other year where you had to get up earlier than you normally would. So it was to get up an hour earlier. And I think if you do something like that, even if it's half an hour earlier, then that time's yours, because no one is expecting anything of you. You know, hopefully your family are still in bed. You can spend that time doing what you want. But otherwise, I think you can grasp time anytime. There's no reason, it depends obviously what you want to do, but there's no reason you can't do things while you're waiting to pick up kids, or while you're sitting waiting for an appointment. You can sit and sketch, you can sit and write. You can pretty much do anything now. You know, even if you've got 10 minutes.
I think as well, when it comes to feeling bad that your family, you know, your family are expecting your time. We were talking the other day, Tara, weren't we, about how you can get them involved sometimes, you know, get them to pose for you while you practice sketching. Tara, you've got such a dirty mind. If it would pose for you, and like, I mean, so many of my paintings, I recently did one with a hand actually holding a match, and that was my husband's hand, and you know, just having him in my painting is kind of makes me feel that he's been part of the process. And getting my son to come in, and I often say to him, Charlie, you know, before I put paint to canvas, is there anything you can see within this composition that you don't think is right? Or when I've nearly finished a painting, I'll say to him, what do you think? And he might say, just one bit that bothers me. And he's not, I mean, he is creative, he doesn't know he's creative, but he is. But sometimes fresh eyes and somebody who's actually not an artist is actually really good at spotting things that you might not. And so I think they all appreciate the fact that they are more involved. And more recently I did a painting of a rum and cigar, a rum glass with cigar. And Charlie, my son, he said, do you know, it would be, because it was a Cuba inspired painting. I'd been to Cuba. And Charlie said, you know, it'd be really good if you put a hand of cards in that painting, because, you know, with Cuba, they have quite a gambling history. I thought, you know, that's a really good idea. And so I used the cards. And, you know, Paul comes up with ideas as well. He's colourblind, actually, and he's great at seeing pattern. So he can often spot a problem in a composition that I don't. But, yeah, I do think it's about getting them involved and also making the most of the time when they're doing their own thing. You know, make that your time. When my husband goes fishing, I'll be in my art room. Or when he's watching football, I'll be drawing or doing something for kicking the creative. You know, it's just got to pick your time, I think.
Yeah, I mean, my partner, he's great because he'll come out sketching with me, but he's quite happy. We'll sit in a cafe having a coffee, but he's happy to sit and look at the sport on his phone or read a newspaper. So definitely, you know, involve them in whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And I think, you know, we have this idea that we're very busy. I certainly feel that myself. But you do also have to decide what really matters. And sometimes getting out of the house to do some sketching or to work in the garden or to play your guitar or whatever it might be is more important than washing the kitchen floor.
Definitely, definitely. That can wait. You can do that while your potatoes are boiling. Do you know what I mean?
You'll slip over, Sandra, if you do that.
You don't have to make a massive chunk of time for your housework. You can, you know, 10 minutes, I'll just quickly whiz over the sink with a cloth or whatever. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'm actually quite fairly OCD in the house, as in I like a really clean house, but I'll pick my timing. If I've got 2 hours where I can paint or 2 hours where I can do housework and the housework needs doing, I will paint because I know the housework will get done. But painting's harder to fit in. Drawing's harder to fit in if you're, well, maybe not sketching. Sketching you can find time, but it's just finding those little moments that you probably don't even realise you've got half the time, I think. That's a sort of secret. And I think it's interesting what you were saying about being somebody older who is, you always think, oh, you're so busy. But actually, I think when you are busy, that's actually a good sign. I think when you're not busy, that's when there's a problem. And I think when you are busy, you need to find something to help you just unbusy your head. When you're not busy, you need to find something that you love to do. And you will be busy.
Yeah, so either of those scenarios, there's no excuse in a way for not doing, for not finding some creative outlet. And you mentioned the person who's on one of your courses who has used this to turn around their depression. What are some of the other benefits of having a creative outlet?
Like you said about the meditative sort of thing, that's definitely one of them. Plus, I mean, you can also, if you want to, get out and meet people. If you're quite a solitary person, like you work from home, like I do, and Sandra, you work from home on your own.
Yeah.
You don't really interact with that many people during the day. So
I talk to a Labrador most of the day.
So whether you just interact online or and you connect with people that way, or whether you go out, like I've recently set up a local sketch group. So, you know, I'm meeting different people just doing that. And it's so hard usually to meet people that have got similar interests, I think. It's easy online, but not so much in person. But if you've got that, you know, one thing you're connected by, there's immediately some sort of conversation there, isn't there? There's, okay, you both like guitar, so you've got something to talk about immediately.
I think also, health-wise, I think it's so important. With our group, we mentioned obviously the lady suffering from depression. We've also got someone who has dementia? Dementia. And it's funny actually, because we obviously do challenges and we're not sort of like, oh, you know, the rules have to be absolutely followed. We like people to make them work for themselves. And there was one lady who said, you know, I need to tell me the rules again. And say, look, the main rule is to just have fun. But she came back and said, no, I need the rules. The rules are really important to me. They give me structure and they help my dementia. And we've got people with memory problems, same, you know, they really help my memory. We've got recovering alcoholics and things like that. And it gives them a new focus. I think art is so therapeutic. in so many ways. And if it helped you mentally, then it has to help you physically, doesn't it? Because the number of, I think, physical health issues that we get, particularly from middle age upwards, are often caused by maybe anxiety and stress, everyday stress. If we have a way to help relieve those anxieties, something like a creative pursuit, then that can only have a knock-on effect on your physical health, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. And I think that there's also something about living your life as well, you know, that so much of life can be the shoulds and the have-tos and the kind of just the mechanics of getting through the day. I have to get these people to this place and I have to, you know, remember to make the dinner, all these kind of stuff that just makes life happen. But actually, why, this is a bit deep and philosophical, existential, but why are we actually here? You know, what's it all for in the end? If there isn't any time to do something that is for pleasure, you know.
Nobody ever laid on their deathbed, did they, and say, I wish I'd spent more time at work.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you can't, I'm telling myself as much as anybody else, but you know, if you can't find any time to do something that you just really enjoy doing just for its own pleasure, then I think you have to look at how your life is structured and make that time. Otherwise, like you say, you do get to the point where it's too late to do any of those things. And all you have is regret that you wasted it. You wasted the time.
I think when you're in your sort of 20s and 30s, you're busy bringing up kids. And even if you're, I mean, Tara, you haven't got children, but you've been really busy working for, you know, working really hard, and men as well, working really hard. Like I say, we've been bringing up children, running a house. There has to come a point in your life. My children have now, I'm just about to lose my very last one. He's off. and it's just this, it's going to be this emptiness. But actually, a lot of people I know that are at the same stage as me, where their kids are leaving home, are devastated by that because they are worried about the emptiness. And I'm really happy for my kids that they've moved on and found their lives. Yeah, I'll miss them living at home, but I don't have that same emptiness syndrome because I know that I've got something else that I can really fill my time with, you know. And it doesn't have to be the stage of life where you're not needed. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people, when they get older as well, are like, oh, well, nobody needs me anymore. You know, maybe when you get to retirement age, oh, well, I feel surplus to requirements, I feel redundant. I kind of feel that is a time to really embrace, because you suddenly have a lot less responsibilities. That's your time. It's your time. You deserve that time. So do what you can to enjoy it.
Yeah, I think about creative pursuits as well. One of the great things about them is that you can start them any age. It's not like something really, really physical, where if you've got any problems, you know, you can't do them. Anybody can pick up a pencil. Anybody could probably try playing most musical instruments. I think just try anything at any age.
And writing as well, I think, is so important. I really do. I mean, I love writing, but it's quite funny because my husband, Paul, his auntie Jean, she says, I've always wanted to write a book. Always. And I said, well, it's not going to write itself. One day you're going to say, I wish I had written a book. But at the moment, you are in the position where you can. And, you know, she's just thinking about it now. But don't wait for these things. Just do.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. And so how can people get started? Tell us some of the stuff that you do with your groups and on your Facebook page and all of that kind of thing to get people actually to pick up the pen or to pick up the paints or the pencil.
Well, we do 4 challenges, as we said, each month. And some of the challenges are deliberately done so that people don't feel precious about their art. So, for example, we have one where you do blind contour drawing. Now, that is where, say, I would look at your face, for example, and I would draw without looking at the paper. So you've almost got that expectancy that this is not going to be a good drawing, which when you're starting out is good. And actually, some of the drawings actually look really quirky and fun because you're doing it that way. And we have left-hand drawing. But then we also go into sort of things like, we have a lot of 15-minute challenges. Each month, we have a 15-minute challenge. And the idea of those is you can fit them into anybody's day. Most people can fit in 15 minutes. So a lot of people actually complain and, oh, it's not long enough. We want more time, which I think is brilliant because you've actually put pen to paper and now you want to spend longer, which is entirely the idea that once you start, you won't stop, I think.
And also, 15 minutes a day or even 5 minutes a day, that's still very valuable. A lot of people think to be able to draw, you've got to spend hours and hours on it. I think, yeah, it's the more time you can spend on something like that, the better. But if you don't have a great deal of time, it's amazing what you can learn in 5 or 10 minutes a day. And it's better to do it little and often than it is to do it a lot in one day in a month. You'll learn far more. So these little challenges are designed really for people that think they don't have the time. It's amazing how they'll suddenly find it.
Yeah, as well, what we like to do is we don't want people to judge. So in some groups, you'll get a lot of critics going in. And it's fine if someone comes in and they've done a drawing or painting, whatever, and they say, oh, what can someone give me advice about why this doesn't work, then people will then chip in. But if they don't, people are only going to say positive things, you know, oh, well done, you know, good effort, that sort of thing, because they're not there to say, I've done this amazing drawing, you know, or whatever. They're just there because I've done this, I've enjoyed doing it, here it is. And I really like that aspect of things, that unlike some social media that could be quite harsh, it's just more about taking part, I guess.
Yeah, we've been so lucky with that. And even like you say, when somebody does say, oh, I can't put my finger on what's wrong with this, people who do say anything are so nice and will always point out the good stuff. I really love this. Maybe that could be a bit darker. There's no, oh, well, you know, clearly this is wrong. There's none of that. And I think what's interesting is we've got such a wide level of ability. So we've got people who have literally barely even ever picked up a pencil, who are having great fun, to people who are clearly very good at what they do. And yet there's no, nobody seems to judge anyone else. They're all, because at the end of the day, you can look at a great artist, but I guarantee once upon a time, they started exactly where you are. You know, they picked up a pencil for the first time and they weren't very good.
So, and of course, most of them have insecurities as well. Even the best. I mean, especially the best artists.
Oh, yeah, because once you start getting good, then you have this, people expect something of you. And that's interesting, actually, because obviously I have to share a lot online now that I wouldn't have done. And as a painter, still a life painter, who I paint in quite a realism sort of style, so suddenly sort of sharing these random 5 minute sketches or left-handed drawings or anything like that is a bit sort of, oh, what will people think? But hey, I'm part of, you know, we started this group. You've got to practice what you preach, basically, and have a great deal of fun to do any of the challenges, because we're too busy doing the admin work in the back, aren't we, Clara?
Yeah, it's a bit of an irony, isn't it? Less creativity because we're doing the admin.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of work that goes on behind the scenes.
Well, ladies, thank you so, so much for coming on the show today. I really, really hope, and I'm sure, that you've inspired some people to get started again and to come and check you guys out and take part in some of your challenges. And it'll be great to hear from anyone who does do that, you know, in a month's time. What difference has it made to you by embracing more of the creative within you? So thank you both so, so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
I hope you enjoyed that. I love it when we have two guests on the show. There's this kind of real dynamism when the three of us are chatting, and I hope you felt that you were included in our lovely conversation. You can find out more about Tara and Sandra's work at their website, kickinthecreatives.com. They have a podcast which is on all the usual channels, and I'll put various links in the show notes. They're on Instagram, it's at kickinthecreatives, and on YouTube, which their channel is also called Kick in the Creatives. And of course, you can join their Facebook group. So I'll put all those links in the show notes. Do check it out. Do take part in their creative challenges. They're really, really fun. And then head over to the Corporate Escapees Facebook group, which is my group, and share what your plans are, your creative plans are for August. I'd love to know how you're getting on. With information about how you can stay in touch with us here at the show and all the social media that we're doing, here's the lovely Ivy Palmer.
We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website at www.brilliantgamble.com. There, you can get all the episodes of the show, plus read the blog. On our Escape the Rat Race courses page, you can find out more about our development programs to help you navigate your way through the minefield of life, career, and change. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Brilliant Gamble and join our Corporate Escapees Facebook group. Finally, please leave a review and star rating for this podcast on iTunes, as it helps people find us and take a brilliant